Hello and welcome to Multiform. I'm off my game this week. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and games we've been playing. New episodes post every Monday. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 237. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined this week by Spencer Rain.
Yes, you are joined by me.
And Gus Harden.
Hello. The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town. That's not a copyright strike if you hum it.
Spencer's also not doing the right thing. So
I know he isn't, but I said the boys are back in town. Anyway.
I don't know. It didn't sound like it.
Anyway. I'm off my game because I was gone all week this week, and I flew in today. Spencer picked me up at the airport, and then I went immediately after getting home. I retrieved my children and took them to a three-year-old's birthday party, and I just got home an hour ago and put the kids to bed and immediately went in front of a podcast mic. So I went airport, home, birthday party, bedtime, and here I am. But this is fun.
The real Gus professional,
like,
Tim Shelton.
Gus is like, why don't you skip this week? And I was like, I'd like to skip the other stuff, like the birthday party. This podcasting about video games is fun.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about skipping this week. Don't bring me into this.
Yeah, Tim.
But the downside is I probably played the least video games this week that I've played in a long, long time. So I'm going to start with you guys since your stuff's interesting. Or I could just get mine out of the way and say the only thing I played is I played Forza Horizon 5 on my... I bought a laptop because mine's quite old. And funny enough, my laptop is going to serve on. It's going to continue its service and be relegated to Spencer, where he will use it to play Crusader Kings and all other nerdy computer
Probably just Crusader
games.
Kings.
What's the other one? Hearts of Iron?
Hearts of Iron 4, yeah.
Yeah, so it's good for that.
Europa Universalis, if I wanted to really hate my life again.
That box behind me on camera, the listeners can't hear this, is...
They can hear it, but they can't see it.
Yeah, that's the... my laptop that I bought had a bend in the screen, and I asked them to fix it. Or I said, this is not cool. And they just shipped me another one and told me to send the other one back.
This is very uncool.
This is very uncool, Best Buy. What have you done?
I was actually surprised because I was thinking Best Buy didn't used to have the best customer service. I was like, oh, they're going to be like, oh, okay, send it back, and then in 2 weeks we'll get you another one.
Well, they got to do whatever they can to survive.
They sent me a $2,000 laptop.
Cash money of you, Best Buy. Yeah.
On the promise that I would send it back. Then again, if I don't send it back, they're probably just going to charge me another $2,000 for the second laptop. So maybe there's not so much risk in their part anyway. So yeah, Forza Horizon was about all I played. I tried some other things randomly, but nothing really of note.
Nothing of note.
You know, I'm getting a little echo this week, which I don't normally have. Do you guys hear that?
I do.
No. It's probably me then.
Looks like we know who it is then.
Well,
I don't know why. Nothing's changed.
You have headphones in, right?
Yeah.
I can't see them around your massive beard because your headphones are black. They blend into your beard on camera. Okay, let's go to Gus next. Gus, what have you been up to this week? What did you play while I was gone?
Well, I guess technically the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. You were gone last week, too.
I have been on a major Division 2 kick, and I mean like major. I can't wait to get home and play it, which is not unheard of for me. Personally, as a video game player, I will randomly just like jump into games that are old and want to play them for a long time, and then I play the crap out of them, and then I quit as soon as I make a microtransaction. It happens all the time. Like there's been like three or four other games where it's like I play the crap out of them, and then I'll justify to myself that I play the game enough that I can make a microtransaction for like 10 or 20 bucks, and then I do that. And then, like, 2 days later, I put the game down, and I don't play it ever again, which sucks.
Speaking
with
of microtransactions.
Ops, what's up?
Oh, I forgot. You you got me kicking again on Minecraft Snap. Marvel Snap, because the season ends next week, so I maxed out the level for this season on Marvel Snap.
Yeah, I actually, real quick, I did hit Platinum, like, 20 minutes ago. It was the last thing I did before I got on the podcast. Was I played Snap, and I had a double Snap game, got eight cubes out of it, and it propelled me up to Platinum, which is sad because I don't actually get anything cool for it. I just get credits.
Yeah, I hate that.
So it was my first time hitting rank 50, which is incredibly sad because the rank goes all the way up to 100. And I've never once even sniffed 50 in the four seasons that I've been playing of it. But I was playing that. I'm playing the crap out of that, too. I did also buy the season pass. And so now I have MODOK. I did not actually see Ant-Man today. I said I was on my way to do it, and that was a lie. We decided not to go. We'll probably go next weekend, or I'll just wait until Disney Plus, because I heard it really wasn't an okay movie.
I liked it. I thought the critics were a little hard on it. I mean, it's not like 10 out of 10 movie, but it's a certainly enjoyable action movie.
It was going to be, my girlfriend and I who went. And the last Marvel movie we saw in theaters, which I think is the only movie we've ever seen in theaters together, because we're not big movie theater goers, was Doctor Strange: Multiverse of Madness. Which, wow, what a first movie to go see together, because it's a kind of a wild movie. Not only is it just a Marvel
wildly
movie,
amazing.
So, it's a good movie for sure, but it's definitely just watching. I'm a spoiler for old Spencer here, because the man has not seen it, even though the movie's been out for 2 years. So,
no, I think it's only been out for wasn't it like May 2022?
Yeah, it's not that old. It's 8 months or something.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Oh my, it seems older than that. Anyway, I digress. That's enough about Snap. Division 2, been playing a lot of it, and I need. Both I'm turning into Preston Garvey from Fallout 4. There is a settlement that requires your aid, gentlemen. I need your help to do a weekly division challenge.
And look, I'm going to jump back into it. I put the I put the DLC on my watch list for price drops, because I know that it frequently at every sale drops to $10. So when it drops, I'm going to buy all the DLC and then I'm going to jump back in.
Yeah, and
while you were gone. Yeah, I did jump in and clear all my notifications and stuff from all the updates they've done. So I am ready to go, and I did download it. So I am ready for you. You just need to convince Spencer.
Well, the stuff that I have to do right now is not even really like that. It has nothing to do with the DLC, because I also not bought Warlords of New York, which is the expansion, which the Division 2 is also a 5-year-old game at this point, which, again, I alluded to earlier, is not unheard of for me to play an old game. I really don't know. So we talked about it on a podcast the last time I was on, and I was like, man, you know what? I'll jump back into it and check it out. And it just completely sucked me back in. I don't know why. I very much enjoy the game. But I do need, if I want to do anything in the Dark Zone, I have to have help. So that's part of why I need you guys. But also, just because I want to do some challenges. And then, yes, like you said, if the expansion comes out on sale, I would buy that and I would play that with you.
I forget. Is it I don't have, I think, all the classes unlocked. How do you unlock those? I know you bought the Uber.
I bought the $100 pack, which came with the season one. Or the season pass, which was
did you get early access, or did you get access? Do I have access to all the classes, or
I have access to all of the extra ones, and I actually have one of them almost completely maxed out. It's what I've been using since I kind of started replaying it, and I don't know. I don't know if I had early access. Gonna be honest, I kind of put the game down before anything new was coming out. I played the absolute crap out of it, beat it. And then I put it down because I never was able to play with you, even though you had the game, just for whatever reason. We never.
It's going to be even harder together. Now because I feel like you and I are on different schedules.
Well, that'll be changing here in approximately a month and a half.
Or because you aren't going to be working two schedules?
That's right. I will be done with my two-job grind after almost 2 years. So I will be able
to. Wow, it's been 2 years already? That's crazy.
Not 2 years. It's been a year and a half. And so I guess a year and 2 months, really not even close to a year to 2 years. But
okay, so the year one pass included instant unlock of year one specializations.
Which
what it doesn't tell me is instant access, but how did the rest of us get access?
Don't ask me. I don't
know. I'm sure there's a way to unlock it in the game. This is the kind of stuff that I hate about games like Division and Destiny, is if you dip out for a little while and you come back and you weren't in the like world hard enough, like you have no idea how to get anywhere doing anything.
Yeah, I don't actually know what like the meta is for the game because I don't play it really like that. Like I just, it's all single player stuff that I do. Like territory controls and control points and like all this other like kind of like boring stuff. But it is just like, it's kind of just, it's a little mindless fun game that I can go into cover and I can shoot baddies. And it's like, oftentimes it offers enough of a challenge that I can still enjoy myself. But I don't know. I really don't know what to say about it that hasn't been said in the last 5 years by another podcast somewhere else or by critics, but I enjoy it. The gunplay is fun. I do think the gunplay in it is very, very enticing and rewarding.
Yeah, I liked the game when I played it.
Yes, and like I said, I probably would have been a massive Division nerd if I had actually played it with other people. But for whatever reason, I am antisocial on video games, so I don't like join. I don't join clans or anything or other people like it used to be. Which is weird because it's like when I was in high school, I would just like talk to random people. And like I had like friends on the internet and I'm like, that's like much less safe technically than me being 27, halfway to 28 and just then deciding to play with random people. But because the chances are that they're probably just going to be like normal dudes who probably just play this just like me. But I don't want to run the risk of running into weirdos on the internet. Even at 27, I'm just like, God, it just does not sound fun to like have to talk to like random people. And maybe that'll change, but I doubt it. Anyway, moving on from the Division, World of Warships. I got my 10 minutes, Tim, and I'm going to use
starting the clock. For those that haven't heard this joke in a while, there are certain games that I limit Gus and Spencer to 10 minutes like every month to talk about.
I think it might have been less than 10.
World of Warships. Yeah, maybe it was even a minute or something. It was World of Warships, and what was the other one? World of Tanks. Though there was one other one, though, that you guys were talking about for like every
probably
week
Madden.
For forever.
No,
Assassin's Creed? I don't know.
No, because a lot of our listeners make fun of us for how much we talk about Assassin's Creed, and I embrace that.
Hey, Assassin's Creed is a great video game franchise. If you don't like video game, if you don't like Assassin's Creed, you don't like video games, in my opinion. It's kind of taken a jump off the deep end recently.
It kind of is like comfort food, though. It's not like it's like world changing narratives and like it's not the.
It's got deep lore. It's a fun. It's a fun game. Like
it's I know, but it's a far cry from like The Last of Us or what's it, Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, we're not game snobs here, Tim. I'm not the Martin Scorsese of the video game world. Like, I don't like Marvel movies bad.
Yeah. I mean, I play some, you know, the equivalent of Oscar bait games, but I also play some complete trash games like Gotham Knights.
Yeah. I played my fair share of bad games and I've played my fair share of good games. But, anyway, getting back to it, I've been playing World of Warships and I also played World of Tanks as well, which I spent a heinous amount of money on, and I refuse to elaborate further on that number. So me getting back into it, I always feel validated when I play it, because I'm like, gosh dang, I spent a lot of money on this game. I'm going to freaking play it. And then World of Warships.
$5,000. At least.
It's not. No, no way. It's not that much. Oh, my goodness. If it was $5,000, lock me up.
Gus is a whale.
Yeah. No, not even close to being like that. There are people out there like that, though. But World of Warships is, I've just been casually, you know, getting back into it. You know, just some pleasure cruising, as you might say, in some of these ships. And it's been kind of fun to just kind of like get back to, not like my roots, but just something that's just like you said about Assassin's Creed, is kind of like comfort food for me, which is just sailing boats with the occasional shooting at people.
Some of the YouTubers I watch are sponsored by World of Tanks, so I see a lot of World of, or not World of Tanks, sorry, World of,
don't worry.
World of Warships. I see lots of World of Warships.
Like every single one of the history channels that I follow on YouTube is sponsored in some way by Wargaming.
Oh, mine are not in any way associated with gaming or history, so it's very interesting.
That is interesting then.
I guess tangentially related to gaming, but never mind.
I mean,
anyway,
just gaming. I mean, Wargaming is like pretty massive. Like it's like one of the, it's like the developer that you haven't heard of that is like enormous.
Yeah. Okay, Spencer, what did you play this week? I'm really curious about your third bullet because I have no idea. Oh, I just realized what that stands for. It just says hog, and I was like, what is hog? I'm thinking of a pig or
what is hog? What is hog, Tim? What do you think that
Hogwart.
Is?
Hogwarts. I make that the Halo joke every time we call it wart.
We call Hogwarts wart.
But you flipped the script and called it hog this time instead of wart.
Yeah, well, no, usually I just call Hogwart singular, just a singular Hogwart.
Wart.
What did I play this week? I finished High on Life. That feels like an eternity ago because it was Monday, so almost a week ago.
So how did the humor fall for you? Was it a funny game or were you annoyed by it?
I thought it was funny like 75% of the time, but then the other 25% of the time I was like, all right, shut up.
Yeah, there's definitely some cringe.
Yes,
Gus, you have your, what's up?
No, it just, whenever I hear you guys talk about High on Life, and then I like watched one of the end scenes or whatever of one of the bosses, and I'm just like, man, it does not surprise me that co-creator of Rick and Morty is about to end up in prison because the dude's mind is like nuts.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Anyway,
it takes a special we'll say in quotes, mind to think up that stuff. But
I mean, you have to take human reproductive bodily fluids to the end of the game to get 100% on the achievements.
Special,
that alone.
Special with the addition of probably what I would assume to be some like mind-boggling drugs.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, so I did finally finish that. The end of that was kind of funny. The Let's Do It gun was pretty amazing.
Let's do it.
Yeah, every like 5 minutes, just hearing that
annoyed the crap out of me. Him saying that. It was funny the first couple times, and then I was like, okay.
And then, spoiler alert: randomly having Jack Black and Susan Sarandon show up. That was funny. I won't say why or what happens, but
loved it. Hilarious.
That was random. Again, my wife was watching me play part of it, and she was just like, "This is the most like abysmal thing I've ever seen. Why are you playing this?" But yeah, I finished that, immediately uninstalled it. I'm never gonna play it again. Like I said last week, it's like that game was fun, but just the art style is too much, I would say. But like the jokes that they made were really funny, like the ones that directly correlate with like real life stuff. Like I said some last week, obviously the Applebee's stuff was funny. The Marlboro ones were funny. There was another one, I forget what Kenny said, but there was like a sequence of jokes at the end of the game that were like 100% breaking the fourth wall that were really funny. But I wish I could.
Oh yeah, there
were
a lot of those. Also, the fourth wall breaking one that you probably didn't see if you didn't Google it is after you get the first ending, there's another ending and a half, and one of them is like a direct in-world tease for the sequel, but I believe they actually like call it out, like maybe we'll get a sequel.
That's what it was. Yeah, so you have to pick a gun to sacrifice at the end, and then they don't actually die, and so Kenny or whoever else, they're basically like, don't worry, you didn't think we'd actually kill him off. We need him here for DLC. It'll be like a $40 DLC pack that'll be 30 minutes of content that everyone will have to buy anyway to understand what happens in the sequel that we'll inevitably make or something like that. And that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I remember that too. Gus and I are getting an echo from Spencer's mic. So hopefully I just told him in our chat to unplug his headphones and plug them back in and see if that helps. Hopefully it doesn't come through for you, dear listeners, but if it does, we apologize. it's easier to just keep going than to try and...
Also,
oh,
Lucien Lachance from Oblivion.
So where I went on my trip was, I'm just going to throw this. Is a, well, yeah, this is the best place, as good a place as any. So I went to
Spit
New
it
York.
Out.
I went to New York, and a couple of gaming things I did while I was there. I went to the Nintendo store there, which I'm not a huge Nintendo fan, but I did tour to look around. And I went to the Microsoft
Experience.
You don't
have to lie to us, Tim.
Which is, no, I really wanted a Nintendo New York shirt.
We know you're the biggest Nintendo fanboy this side of the Mississippi.
Yeah, clearly. I own one Switch game, and I don't even own a Switch, weirdly enough. Anyway, so I went to the Microsoft Experience, which is the only, when they shut down all the Microsoft stores, they kept three, Australia, London, and New York. So I went to the New York one. And it's three levels. The first level is just a regular Microsoft store, basically. The second level, they have a McLaren Senna that you can sit in and play Forza Horizon 5. And they have actuators to where the car like moves while you're driving it and you're playing in first person. They project it onto a wall out in front of the car. So you're sitting in a real McLaren Senna, which those seats are insane, by the way. And then you play Forza Horizon 5. So that was pretty cool. And then the third floor, they have a gaming like... I don't know what you call it. Like it's just rows and rows of Series X's and you can play and they just have tons of games installed on them. One of the ones I sat down at had like 40 games installed. And then they have a little mini Xbox museum. They have the first Xbox prototype, the original Xbox, the 360, 360 Slim. I don't think they had a 360E. I'd have to go look back. And then they had Xbox One, Xbox One X, Series S, and Series X. So there was one missing. I think it was either the Slim or the Super Slim for 360.
That's but cool. Do they have the Arcade 360?
The Arcade 360?
The one that doesn't have Chrome?
Yes. Mm. No, they did not. So this wasn't that robust. It was just they had one 360.
That's what I want.
And then
want
they had one
museum
Slim 360.
With literally every 360 variant, like the Halo 3 one, the Modern Warfare one, or the Modern Warfare 2 one.
I also find it hard to believe that the Xbox prototype, the one before the original Xbox that was in the shape of a Chrome X. Yeah, that one. I find it hard to believe that this was the real one, but maybe there was more than one because when I went around behind it, because it was in a glass case, it has ports and everything. And one of the ports is like this non-standard, like it's like the size of, I don't know, it's bigger than a half dollar and it's round on the back of it. But then it had some other like more normal ports. So maybe they had more than one because I'm pretty sure the original one is in the archives at Microsoft. And so either they made a replica or there's more than one and I just didn't realize it. Maybe they made two or three of the original prototypes. I started this story for a reason and I don't even remember what it was. But I also got to try the Xbox wireless headphones, which I'd always wanted to try because I didn't want to order them and then not like the comfort of them. And they seem pretty comfortable. So I was actually pretty impressed with those. I almost bought a pair, but I wouldn't have had room in my luggage with my other things I brought home. And then the other thing I went to was that was gaming related was I went to FAO Schwartz Toy Store. And I forget what the gaming thing they had was. Oh yeah, they had this is how I got on this topic. They had the realistic figurines that are made by, you know, a couple companies that are like super lifelike. They had a bunch of those from like the Marvel Universe and stuff. You said Stan Lee a few minutes ago, and that reminded me in the lobby of FAO Schwartz, they had two different entrances. They had a replica of Stan Lee that was, you know, lifelike, about, I don't know, 6 to 8 inches, maybe 12 inches tall. It was like $200 or $300, but it wasn't just Stan Lee. It was Stan Lee from Thor Ragnarok, where he cut Chris Hemsworth's hair as Thor with the giant machine with all the like claws and scissors and stuff. So it was him in this like ridiculous outfit with his giant scissor hand thing. And that was the figurine of Stan Lee that they had in like I don't know if it's the main entrance, the secondary entrance to FAO Schwartz in Rockefeller Center. So that's how we got on that long tangent with Stan Lee. So I did play even more Forza because I played some in a McLaren Senna. There you go.
Excellent.
Now back to you.
So the less interesting things to discuss. Speaking of cars, I did finally play Hot Wheels Unleashed on Saturday. I think I had played some earlier in the week, but I played a lot more Saturday morning. And you were right. I think when you talked about this game last year, Tim, you talked about like it's very arcadey and like kind of unforgiving. Like if you make a serious mistake, like you're screwed basically. Like if you fall off the track, or like if you miss the track and you have to reset yourself, like those types of things. But it's a fun little game. Kind of frustrating because I'm used to, I mean, I'm good at Forza or good at, I'm decent, I guess. So I don't use rewind all the time, but it is nice if like some catastrophic thing happens to be able to just tap Y and kind of reset yourself. But obviously there's no rewind in this game and you take it for granted if you're used to Forza, because it definitely would come in handy. But it's a fun little game on Game Pass, obviously the Game of the Year edition. So you get all the like the Batman expansion, which was kind of cool, or the DC, I guess it's not totally Batman, but the DC expansion, that's kind of cool.
Did you mute yourself?
Yeah, I can't change my settings.
Oh, okay. So you just sound different. I'm not sure if it's because if you set up your office different with the monitor or
no, I
say something right.
Anything.
Talk Hello? Right to your mic.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. I think we're being picked up. Hang on one sec. We'll be right back. And we're back. Okay. I think we fixed the echoing issue as well as the increased the quality of Spencer's sound. Spencer, so
annoying. Yeah. I was talking about Hot Wheels Unleashed. There's like the DC expansion. So there's cars based off of DC characters like Superman, Batman, Joker, Swamp Thing, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I use the Superman car.
Yeah, I actually haven't used any of them yet. Just because I was using the Looney Tunes. That was the other one of the other expansions. I was using the Roadrunner one because it was really good, which is not surprising considering Roadrunner is supposed to be pretty fast, or you'd think would be fast. I don't know. That one was really good. And then there was another DLC car that was kind of cool to use, but yeah, so there's like lots of, you know, kind of fun, licensed properties, vehicles, tracks, kind of missions, like races, objectives that you can do aside from like the main campaign, we'll call it, with all the kind of the base, like just regular old Hot Wheels cars. And then they have some licensed, like real life cars, like the, you know, McLaren Senna, like you were just talking about. I think like the Dodge Ram Rebels one, Camaro, stuff like that, stuff you'd expect. Yeah, I mean, like, oh, and there's like a Nickelodeon expansion. So there's like TMNT cars. I was driving Leonardo and that one was really good. The Leonardo car. Also Street Fighter. There's a Street Fighter, like Capcom Street Fighter car pack, which is kind of funny. But yeah, lots of interesting, cool cars. I assume that there's like some, I haven't played enough to know, but I assume there's like kind of maybe some more vintage or throwback Hot Wheels cars.
Yeah, there are. Like, and you can go to the car like selection screen and see all the ones that you.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. There's like a Cadillac Seville section by Gucci, which is funny that I had.
Oh, yeah. That was tied into the movie.
What movie?
The one that starred, what's her name? The singer.
Singer, yes.
She's playing Joker in Foiled of whatever, the Joker 2. She's playing Harley Quinn. Why can't I think of her name?
Oh, Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga. That movie where she played Gucci. House of Gucci. That movie.
That's funny.
That's what the tie-in was.
That there's a Hot Wheels car for that. That makes it's yeah, literally it's, not a children's movie.
Yeah, and
at
the, also the crossover between Hot Wheels video game and House of Gucci movie audience does not seem to be very large.
Yeah, I only know about that movie because I watched my wife watched it while we were on a flight. So like I saw, like I would glance over, you know, every like 15 minutes and just like see without sound random things that were happening. Adam Driver
the number
with giant
of
glasses.
People on the street corners in New York that tried to sell us like knockoff Gucci bags was ridiculous.
Probably very high.
At least
yeah.
50 or 100.
So that's a fun game, I guess, if you're into like a unforgiving arcade racer.
Question.
It's cool. The cars all have different types of boosts, which is fun. You kind of have to like drift through the turns if you want to succeed, which is kind of fun. It took me a while to get used to that, but it's kind of fun once you do.
So since you played it more recently than I have, when I played a little of it last week, I forgot I even got back into it. When you go upside down, there's tracks that have magnetism,
yeah,
so your car stays upside down. Okay,
yeah,
well,
crash every time.
Okay, well, at the end of it, yeah, it drops your car and you have to flip it over to land. I can't remember how to barrel roll my car.
It's one of the joysticks. I think it's the right joystick.
I thought I tried that because the right joystick's the camera.
Well, it's annoying because it gives you the control. Like, I guess I could obviously I could hit pause and see the controls, but like the first time you hit a jump, it like gives you the controls as a pop up saying like, this is how you control your car in the air. And then you never see them again unless you like, you know, hit the start and go to
off. I'm going
to
Google it right now because it really bothered me when I was playing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, well, I was doing the first Looney Tunes track like on a free race, and it was a very long race. And towards the end, there's a couple parts where it has you flip, like you said. And yeah, it was just a disaster because I could not remember how to flip myself over. So eventually I was just resetting myself and I would get past it and it was fine.
It says you can rotate your car using the left stick. So I guess since you can't turn in the air.
It's left and right or up and down. Like up and down maybe rotates you. I don't know. You can figure that out later.
It's different than Rocket League. That's what's most frustrating. In Rocket League, you like you hold X, I think, and you rotate with the thing. So you have to hit X to like switch to gyroscope airborne control. I'm sure you can change that. I think I'm saying that right. Like you have to hold X and then use the left joystick. And versus
complicated for no reason.
Well, but like normally the left joystick, left turns left, right turns right. But when you hold X, it does barrel roll instead of turning left and right. So I think in Hot Wheels, it's the same thing, except for instead of holding X, it just knows when your car is airborne. So if you're not on a track, it knows that you want to rotate because steering doesn't work in the air because there's no friction. But in any case, when I jumped back into it, my first race, I was like, oh, I don't remember. I forgot this was a thing. It's also funny because I was playing a bunch of Hot Wheels expansion for Forza Horizon 5 this week, and jumping back and forth between that and Hot Wheels Unleashed is a very different experience. Because one, you're like drifting corners and boosting, and the other one, you're trying to like hit your target lines, break perfectly into corners, and then, you know, stay on the track, and very different experiences. Yeah.
The other thing that I played via Game Pass was I said I wasn't going to, but I did download Madden and I did not have fun. So there's probably a reason why my initial reaction was to not download it. I started a face of the franchise and I was mad within 30 minutes. So I literally dashboarded and then, you know, did the whole, it's not as dramatic as Xbox 360 days when you dashboard. So now what you have to do is you have to dashboard and then you have to hit start on the game and then go down to quit. That's when you're really mad. Go down to quit. And then it takes it off your quick resume, and then you're, that's it. So
okay, here's a question for you,
because I hate myself because I started a franchise mode.
Every one of the Xbox consoles that was in that little mini museum at the Microsoft Experience was playable. Now on the Xbox One and the Xbox Series X, you could play a smattering of games because they had a whole bunch installed. But on the 360, because it's disc based, they only had one game in the disc tray. Guess what game that was?
Madden.
So if you think most iconic Xbox games, what do you think chose?
Halo 3? I don't know.
That's what I would have picked, but you're pretty close. It was Halo 4.
That's
so
iconic. Yeah, right. Okay, Tim.
Well, but Halo is the iconic, like defining franchise.
Just the name Halo.
Halo 4 is the newest one on 360. So I personally would choose 3 because of personal preference, but they chose 4 probably because it's the newer one. Because the Series X and the Xbox One just had all the Halo games installed. And I mean all of them. It even had the like tablet Spartan ones Assault. That got ported. Yeah, Spartan Assault and the other one. And then it had
Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary.
Halo Wars 1, Halo Wars 2, the Master Chief Collection, Halo 5, and Halo Infinite. Those were all installed on the Xbox One and the Xbox Series X. Anyway,
well, yeah, there's that. And then going back to what we briefly mentioned earlier, I did play some Hogwarts this week. Did some Merlin trials, did a couple side missions, got my broom finally, which was fun.
I heard there's 90 Merlin trials. That's what I heard.
I don't know if there's that many because I think they're on the, there could be, but I thought they were on the map. Like, as far as like you have to discover them, but like in the top right where the key is, where it says like,
95.
Well, I mean, it's not like they take like 30 seconds. Some of them do.
Yeah. 94 you have to seek out, and the first one you do early in the game by default. So there's 94 additional. But that's how you unlock stuff, right? You have to like do those.
Yeah. It's the one of the ways to unlock more spell slots. Like you start out with just being able to have 4 spells equipped. I mean, you can swap spells out like instantaneously, basically, but it just makes it to where now you can cast them without having to go to a menu, like because you hold down the left trigger, I want to say. Or no, not the left trigger. I think you hold down I forget what button you hold down and then it pulls up the other menu. It's kind of like Assassin's Creed, how you'd have like your four abilities, but then if you held down like Y or something, it would pull up four more that you could do. It's kind of like that idea. You have to unlock more spell slots, and among other things, I'm sure. I don't know what else though. But yeah, still trucking along on that. I haven't played it in a few days, but good game. Like I said before, fun game. But yeah, that's what I played this week. Okay.
A lot of diverse stuff we got up to this week. I like it when it's like that. A mix of good new things and old things. We got stuff as old as The Division 2 and as new as Hogwarts Legacy and everything in between. High Life, Hot Wheels Unleashed, good mix. I wonder what World of Warships and World of Tanks have to be older than The Division 2, though. Actually, I know they are. You don't even have to correct me, Gus. I see you winding it up. Let's talk about some news. I don't have, because I was gone and I threw the news into our working doc while I was traveling, but I didn't curate it as closely as I normally do. So they're not really in any order this week. They're more in the order the news broke, and I moved a couple of the minor ones to the bottom. So the first thing that broke this last week was the Outer Worlds Spacer's Choice Edition finally was confirmed. So this leaked like 6 months ago. So it was just a question of when it would happen. What's interesting is Microsoft bought the studio after The Outer Worlds came out. And so the publishing rights are still owned by Private Division. So they are publishing this new version, not Xbox or Microsoft. And because of that, the upgrade to the new version is not free, because I feel like first party games have always done free upgrades when they do their enhancements. Like trying to think of a recent game, but like Forza Horizon 4, when it got Series X enhanced, they didn't charge for that. So it's $10 to upgrade to this new version. Or if you don't own the game, you can buy it for $60 and you get the new version plus both of the DLC expansions. So if you haven't played the game, $60, it'll probably go on sale pretty quickly, but $10 isn't bad to upgrade if you already own everything. In fact, that's what I'm going to do. I'll pay the $10 because I never finished that game. I own the game and all the DLC, so I'll just pay my $10. But it's coming out March 7th, which, as we record this, the show is going to come out on at March 6th, and the next day this will be out. So $10 tomorrow. So what it does is high resolution graphics, dynamic weather system, overhauled lighting and environments, improved performance and load times, enhanced detail on characters, increased level cap, and more. That's straight from their like press release. What looks the most interesting to me is they completely reworked the lighting system to where like the sky does not look the same at all. Some of the rest of this is your typical stuff you get from any game remaster with, you know, high resolution, 60 FPS, 4K, higher resolution textures, all that kind of stuff. The new weather system, that's notable. And then I don't know what the level cap was before, but they were upping it to 99. Spencer, you played this game. What was the level cap
before? You'd have to ask 2019 me or 2018 me, whenever that game came out. It's been so long. That's a game that I was like
36.
It was like fire and forget. It came out, I played it pretty hard for like 2 or 3 months, and then I have not thought about it since then.
So it was 30, and each of the DLCs added 3 levels. So it was 36 after the DLCs.
Sounds right.
So now it's going to be 99, which lets you like basically max out all your powers if you want to. Just keep going and going and going. So yeah. I know you're not going to pay for this because you already beat the game, and I don't think Gus has any desire to play it. So it'll probably be me that plays this. But I'm not sure that I'm going to get to it semi-soon because there's a lot of stuff to play from recently, and there's more stuff coming. So we'll see.
I mean, it's cool. You know, if you missed it, this is a great way. Is $9.99 if you have Game Pass or what?
Well, is this in Game Pass? Because it's Private Division.
That's how I played it. It's Game Pass.
I don't know, because it's only $10 if you own both DLCs. The question is, if you own the game through Game Pass and you buy the DLCs separately, does that count enough for an upgrade? And I'm not sure. They didn't mention it in the press release.
It's probably something like how Forza Horizon 5 goes. You can just buy like the upgrade for it. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Did you play the DLCs?
No, I didn't have any interest. I wasn't a huge fan of this game. I thought it was fine. It wasn't really like I didn't really like the art style or just kind of the gameplay. The story was I don't know. It didn't really click with me. It was a struggle for me to kind of get through it.
See, it seems right up my aisle. To me, it's like, I like space and futuristic type stuff, but it also has some humor in it, but it's not the grinding humor. It's not as subjective as High on Life. I mean, it is still kind of annoying in their trailers, but I mean, I only played a little bit of it when I bought it, when it was on sale back in the day. So I have a lot to play on it still. And I know it's not a super long game either, but I definitely want to play it because the second one will obviously be a first party game. So cool. I'm looking forward to it. But like I said, I don't know if I'll get to it in the immediate vicinity, but it's, I don't know. Do you think, Spencer, that it's a bad deal to charge $10 for an upgrade? Like, that's what PlayStation does for all of their games for PS5. Xbox doesn't usually charge, but other people have charged more.
I wonder if it has to do with it being originally published by Private Division. Like, if it was just...
they made the call.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it was just an Xbox Game Studios game, there's no way that they would charge for it.
No, it would be free, 100%. Every Microsoft Studios game has been free to upgrade. So, but as far as upgrades go, $10 isn't terrible. And you are getting some actual content here with the level cap increase. But the question is, I don't think you get that if you don't upgrade. Like, if you just play the Xbox One version, you don't get the level cap increase and the new, like, day night cycle.
I guess I'm kind of torn on, like, how much better in 3 years, like, $10, 3 years of, you know, like, is the jump really $10 worth of a jump, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, like, if the game looked fine in 2019, that was 3 years ago. Is it really going to look that much better now? Maybe. I don't know.
I wonder
if you're doing a, I don't know. I don't
get doing a lot of doing a lot of Googling this episode. Yeah. So the frame rate was locked at, looks like it was locked at 30 FPS on console. So on Xbox One X, yeah. So this will be the first time the game's playable at 60. So that, I guess, in and of itself is a big step up. I'm kind of becoming a snob for wanting my games in 60 FPS. I used to like accept 30 because I guess Stockholm Syndrome, it's all we ever had on console. But more and more, I'm like, especially when it's just a resolution hit. Like, if I go down from 4K to 1440p, but I get 60 instead of 30, that to me is an amazing trade-off. In fact, the new laptop I just bought, I got a 1440p screen from the laptop so that I could run games on like high settings, 1440p, 60 to 100 FPS. It's got like a 140 hertz screen. And same thing, the new monitor I got for my computer like a year ago is 1440p high refresh rate. So I had a 4K 60 monitor, and and that's now just for like reading emails and watching YouTube videos. And I have a 1440p for when I play games. So, okay, moving on. Number two, Paradox has announced, Paradox Interactive, an event partnering with Xbox where they're going to announce three new games and three new expansions. So this is really notable because one, Xbox is like sponsoring the event. But also, they announced the studios that are doing these new announcements are the studio behind City Skylines, which I really badly want City Skylines 2. If they announce that, I will be ecstatic. I was the biggest fan ever of SimCity 1, 2, and 3 as a kid. And 4 I liked a little less. And 5, the 2013 one that was online only, I hated that game. And so Skylines filled that void in my life. And if they release the second one, I will like lose it. And then the other developer is the developer of Crusader Kings 3. And we're getting new games from those studios. And then they're also going to announce 4 new expansions for 4 existing games. Gus.
What needs to happen is if they're going to release games that have been out on PC for years, Crusader Kings obviously is not one of those. CK3 isn't, but like Stellaris, or if you're going to like try to release a game like Hearts of Iron 4, like you got to be able to link your Paradox Interactive account between PC and Xbox. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not paying extra money for the DLCs that I already own.
No, these are new game announcements. Like, PC and Xbox.
I get that. Okay. I'm just saying, what happened with, and what my biggest gripe with Stellaris is that I own a lot of their DLC. But when I got the game, and I do appreciate them for giving us a code for it, because that's how I got it, was that I had all this DLC and it wasn't even on Xbox yet. And then when it was, I would have had to have paid for it. And I'm like, I shouldn't have to pay for it. I already own it on PC. So it's like,
I feel like it's because it's completely different code architecture.
I'm sure it is.
And because they have another studio come in and help them. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, like, I don't even know if they could, like, without them, like, somehow communicating with Xbox, saying, like, hey, I don't know. Because, like, they figure out on their own.
The customer should not have to.
Also, Tim, I want to correct you. You said the developer of Crusader Kings 3. You're talking about Harebrained Schemes. They did Shadowrun, not Crusader Kings 3. That's Paradox. It's like their in-house development studio.
Yeah, the three studios announcing new games are Colossal Order, Harebrained Schemes, and Paradox Tectonic.
Harebrained Schemes.
Whatever I said. But what I misread was at the top of their thing, it said Paradox Interactive, and then it lists some games that they're responsible for, but they are not, they were just going over Paradox Interactive overall, not the specific studios that are announcing games. So correctly announcing the, here, pulling, I'm going to go to Video Game Chronicles Twitter announcement of this thing. They said Paradox Interactive has partnered with Xbox for a game announcement show. New titles from Colossal Order, who did City Skylines, Harebrained Schemes, which is Shadowrun Trilogy, and Rob Humble's Paradox Tectonic will be revealed. And I have no idea what Paradox Tectonic did. But to be honest,
they haven't done anything. They're new.
Okay. All I care about is City Skylines. I want City Skylines 2. I want it to be much better graphics, much bigger cities. Bigger cities is my number one request. I actually recently was thinking about buying a bunch of DLC for City Skylines on PC. And I held off because I was like, it's literally the day after I was thinking about it, I saw this announcement. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to buy a bunch of DLC for a 8-year-old game or whatever it is if they're going to announce the
sequel.
This
is interesting to me because, I mean, it's got to be City Skylines 2. It's got to be one of them. And then
it could be a different kind of simulator. Like, they could do, like, any other, you know, it could be a space city builder, or, you know, they kind of have some of those games because...
Well, I mean,
who makes the Red Planet one?
I have no idea. I mean, City Skylines is what it is. It's 8 years old. It's 8 years old at this point, so I think it's easily time. This is interesting to me because they've kind of, other than Crusader Kings 3, they've kind of had a little bit of a rough patch. Victoria 3 has not been going well for them, and Imperator Rome did not go over well for them either, which was the game immediately before Crusader Kings 3. So I'd be interested to see if they announce any new titles. I mean, they've got so many franchises.
So much DLC.
Yeah, well, they've got so many franchises that they could theoretically make sequels for. I mean, Europa Universalis 5. I mean, the fourth one is, I think that game is, yeah, that game's 10 years old this year. So that'd be kind of interesting to see. Also, DLC plans for Crusader Kings 3, both on PC, because they haven't fulfilled the season pass yet. And also the dates of things coming to Xbox. Like, we've gotten the very first one. We've got, what was it called? The Vikings expansion, Northern Lords. We have that on console, but we don't have, I cannot remember what the second one was called. Royal Court, that's what it was called, Royal Court. And then the next one, which was the Iberian Peninsula DLC. So there's lots of things it could be. I will be paying attention because obviously I care about Paradox games, much to my detriment.
Yeah. I'm on their Wikipedia and published games versus developed games sorted by year. Oh my gosh, this doesn't sort them by year. You got to be kidding me. Okay.
There's a carrot you can sort it by. That's what
I got that. At first I thought it wasn't sortable and I was like, no, this is normally. Yeah. So you're right. Victoria 3, that just came out. Crusader Kings 3, Imperial Rome, man, you're right. They are kind
also,
of on a,
they published,
a little bit of a,
they published Steel Division on PC and I'd like to play that game on Xbox. Although Company of Heroes 3 will be out soon.
So
on Xbox.
City Skylines is not listed as published by them or developed by them. It's only published.
Yeah, Tantalus Media was, I think, the developer, which is, Tantalus is the firm that they've brought in to port all of their games to Xbox. Like, they ported Stellaris, and I know they ported Stellaris. I don't know if they ported, They used somebody else for Crusader Kings, which I think they did a better job than Tantalus did.
All this talk is really making me want to play City Skylines. I'm literally opening up Steam to install it right now on this machine.
They worked on Age of Empires 2 and Age of Empires Definitive Edition. Tantalus.
The original one or the Definitive Edition or the...
Definitive? Definitive.
What's the one between... Enhanced Edition was the middle one.
They did not work on that. I thought they worked on something else.
Okay, well, that's enough talk about them. I forgot to say when the event is, and I already closed my window for that.
When is the event, Tim? Don't worry, I got it.
I beat you to it. March 6th at 12 p.m. Eastern. Wait.
Cool.
That's the day this comes out. So that's... Wow. Oh, awesome. So this show will publish at 9 a.m. on Monday, and 3 hours from when this publishes, they will have it up on YouTube and Twitch. Man, I'm going to lose it if it's City Skylines 2. I don't know why I care so much about this. I'm way too excited about that game if that exists. And if it's something else, I'm going to be super bummed, and I'm going to go back and buy DLC for the original. So either way, they're going to get my money. Back to the news. Number 3, IO Interactive, developer of the Hitman games. Most recently, the story we talked about Hitman Trilogy being moved to the World of Assassination under a single game. Well, their next game we know is going to be James Bond in the works, but we now know they also have something else in the works, a fantasy RPG. And that's basically all we know. I believe this was revealed. So again, just by coincidence, Video Game Chronicles article, we are building a new world. These are quotes they pulled. We're building a new world, a new IP, an online fantasy RPG, the company said on Tuesday. A world, a game built from core to entertain players and expand for many years to come. Man, that's generic. For many, this kind of journey is also deeply personal, one that began long before making the games for a living, and it started with a fantasy genre. From fighting fantasy books, compelling the youth to choose your path alone, against wizards, lizards, and thief kings. I know I'm really struggling.
Tim, are you okay?
All this is telling us nothing anyway. So it's all just like generic fantasy stuff saying we always wanted to work on fantasy, so now we're doing it. So they're making a fantasy RPG.
It's an MMO. I don't care.
Is it MMO? Really?
It says, where did you get that from? Online fantasy RPG.
Well, I mean, everything's online these days.
MMORPG? This is how that reads to me. I mean, I don't care. This is the most generic sounding. I'm glad, like you said, that they wanted to work on a fantasy game. Okay, that's great. I would hate having to work on something that I hated. So,
yeah.
Or I should say, I would hate never being able to work on what I wanted to work on at my company. So that's cool. Good for them. Never going to play
City
it.
City Skylines is already done downloading. That's how fast. That game must not be very big.
Tim, you just have the 5 gigabit internet. It's fine.
I do not. And I saw ads for that new 10 gigabit internet from Comcast, which I don't have Comcast here anyway. But...
And you laugh because it's so slow because you've got 15 gigabit internet.
No, you just kill me. I remember when we got our first high speed modem and it was
Zeta flop of internet.
I mean, just think of how fast the internet's going to be by the time you and I are like walking around with our walkers in our wheelchairs.
I love words like teraflop or
petaflop.
Zeta wop. I saw a computer last night that had a Pentium inside. It was that old.
I mean, isn't the Pentium still alive? It's just chip for...
What was before the Pentium? Wasn't it like... Maybe it was the one before that.
I don't know what was before the Pentium because the Pentium
was... Okay, the Pentium was introduced in 1993. Okay, so
I know,
chill.
But they still make the Pentium.
Okay, well, it was an old one, all right?
The Pentium chip was referenced in the Star Wars gangster rap. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it was.
Slower than the first Pentium chip. Anyway, continue.
Okay. Number 4.
That's a quite the throwback for anybody who does.
YouTube that. It's fire. That.
Yeah. It's a classic.
You guys can send that to me on GroupMe.
Which one? Okay, about 3 or 4 of them.
Just send them the original one, the best one.
Yeah, send me the original. Always send
the
me the best.
Yeah.
Okay, so right, it's time for our check-in with the Activision Blizzard merger. And I have two minor updates this week. Well, not minor. Number one, Microsoft, in their defense of the lawsuit to block the merger, they said they needed documents from Sony to help them in their defense. And the judge has ruled that they will have them. And the only stipulation he did was he agreed with Sony that they didn't need as many years going back as they had requested. But I believe what Sony is required to provide is their exclusivity deals back to 2019 and some other documents related to negotiations with third parties. So I'm not sure if this is going to become public because it's being entered into evidence. Spencer, maybe you have some insight there, but it does sound at the very least that Microsoft's going to be able to use that in their defense to block the merger, or I mean to block the blocking of the merger. But also, if that ever becomes public, like all the stuff did when Epic got sued by Fortnite and Epic sued Apple, we may find out how much money and for how long and what terms PlayStation is using to block games from Xbox Game Pass, as well as appearing on other consoles through third-party exclusivity agreements. So it could be really interesting. I think it's part of the business. I understand that those deals happen, so I don't begrudge Sony for doing them. But it would be cool to know what the details are. And the second is, just in general, I happened to see this article on Forbes called "Microsoft and Sony's Activision Battle May Be Starting to Tilt in Xbox's Favor." And I haven't read the article. I only saw the headline. But from what I've been gleaning from the news, a couple of things have kind of swung Microsoft's way recently. The thing I just mentioned about the lawsuit, about them getting documents to help in their defense. And second, the EU looks ready to approve the deal, is the rumor. And basically, I saw several articles in general media saying that the EU would be satisfied by Microsoft giving 10-year deals to Sony and Nintendo to provide Call of Duty as enough of a make good for the deal to go through, and that they understood why Microsoft was unwilling to sever Activision Blizzard up into multiple parts to make the deal happen. I don't know. I'm feeling like this deal is more and more likely to go through. And honestly, I've always felt that it would go through just because Microsoft has so much on the line. If it doesn't, I believe the out clause, as I bring it up all the time, is $2 to $3 billion. If they don't seal the deal, that's a lot of money. They have probably more to lose than Sony does in whatever perceived losses Sony thinks they're going to have, especially since Call of Duty will remain multi-platform. I think a lot of the analysis on this deal happening by hobbyist podcasters and professional podcasters and YouTubers is just ignorant. And I'm on an Xbox podcast, but I own a PlayStation, and I just said, like, I don't begrudge Sony for having their exclusivity deals, and I don't begrudge Microsoft for making things like Starfield exclusive, especially when they have plenty of games like Minecraft that they support on multiple platforms. In the end, business is business, and I don't think Call of Duty is going to be exclusive, and I don't think Diablo is going to be either, and I don't think anything, World of Warcraft, any of that stuff is going to be exclusive. What I do think is going to be exclusive is whatever is in process at Activision right now that we don't know about, some new franchise that they're working on, just like Starfield, that when it gets announced, it's going to be like, oh, this new thing is exclusive. But I think all the existing stuff is just going to keep going everywhere. So anyway, rant over.
So,
Spencer, lawyer me.
I was just going to say the evidence would only be confidential if they had some sort of protective order in place, or if there's
so it's likely
reason.
We'll get to see these deals.
Well, you could theoretically see it. What's interesting is Microsoft issued their subpoena on January 17th, and Sony objected on January 23rd and described some of the requests as obvious harassment by Microsoft, which is kind of funny.
And the judge said nope.
Well, so they had six, basically it looks like Sony had six specific objections, and the judge only granted two of them and denied
one.
The other
was the time frame.
Right, yeah, Microsoft wanted stuff going back to 2012, and the judge was basically like, well, that's probably irrelevant, so you only get to 2019. And the other one is they wanted performance reviews for Jim Ryan and his direct reports, which is funny to me, as well as like other members of the leadership team. And basically the FTC was like, that's probably an invasion of privacy. So those are like the only two concessions that they gave. I guess it's not actually a judge. I think it's a commissioner or something. I don't know what it
magistrate
what the guy's title is. Well, magistrate's still technically a judge, but I don't know.
I don't know. This article on GameIndustry.biz says FTC judge grants Sony's request to limit time period.
It says judge. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think
I thought
it was
I
a
saw
judge.
Something else. I thought I saw a title somewhere else though. But yeah, it's kind of funny that, I mean, a lot of times in litigation, you just like ask for literally any possible shred of anything out there that you think might be even the slightest bit relevant. And then that way you get what you actually want. So it's interesting to me.
Okay, so I am not a financial expert or a stock advisor, so don't listen to this and make your stock purchase decisions based on this. But I, in my personal life, do feel willing to make the gamble that this will go through, because the stock currently, I think, is sitting around $80 a share, and the offer from Microsoft is, I think, $95 or $97 a share. So easily 15 to 20% premium when the deal goes through, and it's an all-cash deal, so you would get paid out when the deal goes through. So, I mean, 20% return for taking the risk on the deal going through to me is a risk worth taking. But then again, I don't have the kind of money to like sling huge amounts of cash on this. And I haven't, although I would love to. I wish I had like $5,000 or $10,000 to drop, just because the stock premium, because worst case, if the deal doesn't go through, the stock will take a little bit of a dip from that, and then it'll slowly creep back up over time as the Activision continues to deliver on Call of Duty and other things. So I think it's a pretty safe bet overall in the long term, if you take a long term perspective on stocks, which most people do unless they're traders. So, okay, moving on. Number five. Sifu is coming to Xbox. So this is it was a PlayStation exclusive martial arts game. It's not coming to Steam and Xbox. I don't really know that any of us will have anything to say. It did look good to me, but I'm pretty sure I just don't have time to fit it into my gaming menu. It's coming March 28th, so I'm not going to stay on that one. Number two, or number six, really, but number two in the shorter section, The Wolf Among Us 2 has been delayed to 2024, so they don't have to crunch the team, which is admirable, I guess. But I will say, as somebody that really liked The Wolf Among Us 2, I'm not going to play The Wolf Among Us 1, or I'm sorry, I really liked Wolf Among Us 1. I'm not going to play Wolf Among Us 2 unless they have seriously and severely overhauled that engine to make the game more engaging. Because even though I love this story, it's not really a game. It's just like a follow your own adventure, click and make decisions kind of thing. And it's been so long since The Wolf Among Us 1, like, I don't even remember anything that happened. When did the Wolf Among Us
2010
release date? Oh, you already looked it up?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Well, this says 2024. That's clearly not right. 2013. So it's literally going to be.
Not, there's no way. Nope. It can't be.
Yeah. Remember, it was out on 360.
I know. Older than that, though.
It was also on the next generation, though. That, yeah, so now it's going to be 11 years later.
Sound right.
We're going to get the sequel. Now, obviously, they went out of business, and then they were cobbled back together by another group of people and stuff. So there's all kinds of funny business. But, man, 11 years. This game wasn't even that big. Like, you know, it's kind of niche. And for that to come back alive after 11 years and still capture the audience and bring people back, I mean, they're going to need a lot of good marketing, a lot of good reviews.
I thought Telltale went under.
They did. And then the rights and some of the gaming stuff was renegotiated by some new people that like brought it back. Some
people that worked on the original games. Is it still a Telltale game, or is it just...
Yeah, it's the new Telltale.
Okay. Oh, when they... Okay.
So like somebody bought the name and then renegotiated some of the licensing agreements, like Among Us. Or not Among Us, sorry. The Wolf Among Us. And then some of the original developers, they got back as well. But I think they changed engines. I don't know if it's in this article that I linked here for sourcing. But they, I think we're changing engines to like Unreal or something. I don't see it here. So I don't know. I just think it's been too long. But then again, good games sell and bad games don't. So maybe it'll be good. And finally, last story this week, Games with Gold. I don't even know how to pronounce this first one. Spencer, do you know how to pronounce that? Trauberbrook? I don't know. And then is the first game available March 1st to 31st? Sudden Strike 4 Complete Collection, March 1st through March 31st.
Shout out Sudden Strike 4.
Yeah, Sudden Strike 4, I was about to say. Spencer reviewed that.
Download that. Download that, Gus. Download that game. You can play. No, Sudden Strike 4.
It's a map game, isn't it?
Yeah, Spencer? It's a real time tactical role or strategy game. Because you don't build.
Free. Is it not a grand strategy game?
No, it's real time, but you don't get to build units. You just get what you're given.
Yeah, and it's free to keep if you redeem it, Gus.
World War
II,
obviously.
It now, you get it.
Sudden Strike
and
4.
Then
I've heard Sudden Strike.
Lamentum is the other game coming March 16th, April 15th. Is it weird to anybody else that we have three games this month instead of two?
They're slowly weaning us off until they go away with it. Do away with
but
it.
But there's more. There's more than... Remember, they got rid of 360 games, so it's only supposed to be two games now. But it went up. Now we have three.
I don't know. Never mind. I'm stupid.
And Truberbrook, or how do you pronounce that? The U with the two dots over it.
I've said it three times. Truberbrook.
Truberbrook. Truberbrook.
Truberbrook.
Well, whatever that is, it is the other March 1st game. So there's two March 1st games and one March 16th game. So there we go. The other thing I cut from the story, the show notes, but I will briefly mention, is there was a rumor going around that I didn't really vet, so I don't know how accurate it is, so this could be completely false, is that the Fable game is really far away from release because the studio is first working on Hellblade 2 and Avowed, and Fable is the third game in the queue. So they're only doing light production and pre-production work. And it just recently entered full production. It was the rumor. Now, this is a full-blown rumor that I didn't source, so I don't want to say this is actual news, but it is fun to think about because Avowed does look really interesting. I liked Hellblade 1, although I don't really feel like I need a sequel.
I'm
looking
that.
Really quick. The source was Video Game Chronicle's new podcast. So journalist Andy Robinson was the person that made this comment.
That makes sense because what we heard the most recently was that Fable was really far out. Like we talked about this, I feel like in the last 3 to 4 months that Fable was really far out and that Avowed would 100% be first as far as like Xbox first party games go. Like Fable is probably the furthest out of outside of obviously Elder Scrolls 6 as far as first party titles. So even Perfect Dark was theoretically further along than Fable from what I remember, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, and Perfect Dark has probably been in development slightly longer because remember they stood up a new studio, but it seems like it took them forever to hire everyone because it feels like they were on a hiring spree for a very long time.
Yeah,
it's also weird, I don't know if going back to Fable I'm all for going back to. Perfect Dark I have to be convinced, I don't really care about that as a franchise. So
unless it's a total
the only
reboot.
Way you're going to sell me on it, if it's a total reboot and they make a strong narrative game that is just happens to be a Perfect Dark game, just a complete re-envisioning of what that franchise is. Otherwise, if it's just like the other games and just the next in the series, I don't know that that's enough in 2024 or 2025 or 2026. The production values have just gone up so much that some of the stuff Xbox is putting out that is smaller just isn't up to snuff. But then again, they've also had some huge hits that are smaller games, Pentiment and Grounded and Hi-Fi Rush all were smaller games with, no big marketing cycle and apparently not huge budgets, and they all are succeeding pretty well. So, Gus, your homework assignment, should you choose to accept it, is to download Sudden Strike 4, and I will play Division with you in the very near future. I need to
play me on Snap too.
Well, you know, I was going to play you on Snap while I was in the airport earlier today, but I was so close to the end of the season that I didn't want to waste time playing you because it doesn't get XP. You don't advance anything.
Yeah,
but
I get
you. I do want to play you because I've got this new deck where I use Gambit and I deploy him up
dude.
To four times.
Yeah, with
and
long,
I wipe
dude.
The entire
oh,
and I de- wipe the
no.
whole board.
Yeah,
I had this
yeah.
guy. This guy was playing me, and I threw down four Gambits and wiped his whole side of the board, and he just retreated immediately.
Yeah, yeah. I usually if I see Wong come out turn four, I just retreat. Unless I'm stomping the person, I just retreat. I'm just I'm not winning this.
My favorite is when the people try and block Wong with what's the one that blocks on reveal?
Cosmo.
Cosmo, yeah. So people drop Cosmo, but I'll have a plan B already in my pocket. So they think they've got me, and then I just still pull one over. I'm not even good at this game. I'm like a slightly above average, I would say. Yeah. And
I would say I'm probably about similar. I sent you the deck that I said carried me to platinum. The only thing that was different about it was that instead of Gambit, I had Blade for a long time, but I don't have Blade anymore, so I don't have a single one cost card because it's like there's no point.
Yeah, I often don't play cards on the first turn.
Yeah,
I don't like discard. I don't find it very fun to play, so I don't play my discard deck anymore.
I love it. It is like it's probably like the deck that I play like 90% of the time.
I really should try it though, because now that I have Gambit, MODOK, and a couple others,
yeah,
like there's a lot more options.
MODOK and Morbius is crazy good, especially if you have a couple swarms that are like in your hand already from earlier on in the game. Like it destroys people.
Do you ever run?
It's not like one of those crazy like I can turn Black Panther into like a 2 million power card. Don't get me wrong. Like it's not like a like overwhelm people with power kind of deck. So, but it's like it is kind of though, because it's like I mean you're playing cards that are worth more because it's like you're getting rid of other cards. So,
do you ever play Absorbing Man or Mystique to duplicate powers for cards?
I use Mystique on my deck that I use Patriot with. So that way she copies Patriot and it makes my like Ultron drones more powerful on turn six because they have no abilities. It's like my no abilities deck. It has like Cyclops and Shocker and Misty Knight. Brood is also very good.
Yeah.
Patriot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that too. Spencer just turned off the lights in his room and he's trying to show us something that's glowing in the dark, but I can't exactly tell.
No, it's just a reflection off my glasses.
Oh, it looked like you were holding like something glowing in the dark in the middle of the room. So I'm watching Gus and Spencer both sit in pitch black rooms now, and that's how the podcast will
end. When I switch to the show notes, you can always tell because it goes from this to this.
Oh, wow. That is super bright because the white background.
Yeah,
I wonder if Google Docs has a black option, like a dark version.
Yeah. So I'm like sitting pretty close to my computer so that way you can still see me.
So my wife was giving me a hard time when we were at the Microsoft Experience about the name of our show, Multiform. And I was trying to tell her like the reason the name Multiform came from a synonym of eclectic, because even though it's an Xbox podcast, because that's what we all play, we all obviously play other things because they play map games on PC and then a few mobile games, and we're talking about Snap now. So it was meant to be like an eclectic way to talk about video games, but mostly centered around Xbox and what's happening in the Xbox ecosystem. But I like having this end of the podcast place to just go off the rails about TV and movies and mobile games and whatever. And that way people can dip out early if they want to. And if they don't, then they like the nonsense, then stay here. Okay, this has been a rough one, guys, because not only did I get off an airplane a few hours ago, but I've stumbled with
years
my words.
Ago.
I've stumbled with my words. I've had to Google things. We had an echo on Spencer's mic, and his sound was messed up, and just everything has gone wrong. So if you've made it this far, thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure to have you. I have been Tim Shelton. And you can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton. Please do.
He's no longer Tim Shelton. I'm Spencer Rain. You can follow me on Twitter at Makes It Rain, but I don't know why you would.
I love it when he says that. Doesn't that just make you want to follow him more? And he is Gus Harden.
Yes, I'm Gus Harden. And you should follow Spencer Rain if you're a Colts fan / video game fan / ardent follower of United States history in general, or Purdue.
Very
niche that, amount of people, I'm sure.
Yes,
you're
a lot of people, of course.
When you go hard on Twitter, Spencer, and the things you say, it like I always either learn something or just get really like I just laugh. Like
oh, yeah,
the stuff
yeah,
you're
yeah.
fired up about.
Let's end on a sad note. R.I.P. Tom Sizemore. I did tweet about that.
Yeah, dang. Yeah,
I didn't realize how much stuff that I'd seen that he was in until I saw your tweet.
Yeah.
I knew the actor. Obviously, I recognize him, and I've seen several of the movies. I've seen all the ones you mentioned, but
I mean,
Saving Private Ryan. And
he's younger than my dad.
He had an aneurysm, brain aneurysm.
Yeah, brain aneurysms. Brain aneurysms are scary because they can happen at any age. It's one of my biggest fears. It just pop, you're dead. And if you're not dead, then you like can't speak.
Well, we already did the outro, so I'm gonna go watch this Star Wars gangster rap and make sure.
Enjoy. Yes.
And if I'm promoted something too. If that's horrible, then I apologize. But thanks for listening. See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.